We read in Ephesians, Lord, in Paul's prayer, prayer that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. And that is our prayer now, Lord, that through your word and through Ian's ministry amongst us, you would give him, Lord, your spirit of wisdom and revelation. And Lord, that you would enlighten our hearts with that same spirit. We pray that you would be at work in Jesus' name now through your word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Russell. I thought Russell was going to say, now Ian's come to tidy up the mess. But thankfully he didn't. We're going to be looking, as we've heard, at Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It'd be good, actually, if you had a copy of it in front of you in some form or other. So, my beautiful assistant, Quentin, is going to... give out Bibles, so if you'd like one, raise your hand and one will be thrust upon you. Just an opportunity to say, I know some of you have been praying for Jan's dad. Thank you very much. He's come through the whole intensive care thing and is now at home, in fact, and recovering from the operation he originally went in for, which was to replace his knee. And things are going well, I think. So thank you for your prayers. And just to say that I'm going to go for lunch to Liverpool. Better than cooking for myself, I figured. A two-hour drive there and a two-hour drive back. So I won't be hanging around at the end. So if you want to, you know, say thank you for the sermon this morning, just do it now. Do it now. Round of applause or something. Yeah, it'd be great. We've been looking, haven't we, these weeks after Easter at some of the things that have been written in the letters about resurrection and about risen power and about how our lives can be transformed. And this is the last of the series. And it's part of Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 for these Ephesians. And we'll be looking at the verses before this, but here's the prayer in verse 18 and 19. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. The story of a man who died and went to heaven and was being shown around. And they were walking along a path, and Peter was in front of him and sort of showing him the sights. And he said, look, he said, over on our right, you can see the Garden of Paradise, to which Jesus promised to the thief on the cross that day. And look, just beyond, you see the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, perfect dimensions as described in the Bible, with God's light filling that place, and the river and the water of life flowing through it, and the tree of life there planted in the middle. Isn't it a wonderful sight? And look, just over there, the Father's mansion with so many rooms, and one of those rooms has got your name on it. And look there, people from every tribe and tongue and nation. Isn't it marvellous? And the man thought, yeah, it is pretty good, yeah, but he couldn't help looking over to the left-hand side of the path. And there on the left-hand side of the path, as far as the eye could see, miles and miles and miles of warehouse shelving, loaded with box after box after box after box after box. And on the front of each box was a label, and on the label was the name of every person who's ever lived. And he said to Peter, you know what, that's all great over there on the right, but what's this on the left? And Peter said, oh, he said, sadly, he said, that those are the boxes of every person's unclaimed and unused blessings. Whoa. Shocker. You mean there's a box of blessings with my name on, Ian? I hear you ask. Yep. You mean there's a box of blessings available for me today, Ian? Yep. You mean there's a box of blessings available and able to transform my life and enable me to live a godly, Christ-like, Spirit-filled, blessing to everyone sort of life? Ian? Yes. So, do you want to open the box? Used to be a program on the telly. Those of you who are at least my age will remember this. You answered questions. I can remember. Was it called Take the Money or Open the Box? Or was it? Yeah, I know that was the line in it, wasn't it? So the thing was, you answered questions and you won money, and that money was yours. Or you could open the box. And the twist was, you didn't know what was in the box. Sometimes it was a holiday or a car, a Ford Anglia, I remember once, or a boat or something like that. The value was way more than the money you'd won. That was the gamble you'd take. But sometimes the box had a comb in it, or not much good for you, John, eh? Should we do that joke again? Should we do it again? I bought John a comb for Christmas, and he said, "Thank you, I'll never part with it." That's not in the script, so I'm sorry, John. It's just came. So the tagline was, are you going to take the money, or are you going to open the box? And that's not like, is it, what we're talking about this morning, because we know what's in God's box of blessings for us. These things are ours already. Do you get that? They're ours already. We just need to believe them, to embrace them, and to live in them. And that's important to grab hold of as we look at what these blessings are, okay? These things are already ours in Christ. We just need to believe them, to embrace them, and to live in them. So, what are these blessings? Where do we start? I know. Let's start at the beginning. And actually, the beginning of Ephesians. Because actually, what we've been talking about is what Paul is explaining to these Ephesian Christians. In this whole letter, 6 chapters, the first 3 chapters describe our box of blessings, with a couple of prayers to encourage them to embrace these blessings. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6 are an exhortation to live these blessings out. And so you'll see at the beginning of chapter 4, where the letter halves, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. In view of all I've said in the first 3 chapters, I urge you then to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. That's God's calling on our lives. So, come on, Ian, tell us what our blessings are, I hear you say. Okay, I say, calm down, here we go, okay? Box of blessings. We up there somewhere? There you go. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And then he lists them. I'm not going to read it, but you can. They're all there. You'll know most of them anyway. He's chosen us, and actually chosen us before the creation of the world. And he's chosen us to be holy and blameless in his sight. Amazing. And then in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his children, according to his pleasure and his goodwill and his grace, which is given freely in the one he loves, his son. I am reading it, aren't I? Jesus Christ. In him, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And that's according to the riches of God's grace that he's lavished upon us. And we've been given the mystery of his will. We now know what happens to this world. That it will all come together under Christ's headship one day. And we will be swept up in that and part of that when we believe in him. That's the grace he's lavished on us. And then he sealed us with the Holy Spirit. How's that for a box of blessings? And what are you going to do with this box? Because you see, you could take this box home. And you could, because you like it so much, set it on a pedestal. Probably to the side of the telly, because you wouldn't want it to get in the way of the telly, would you? You could set it on a pedestal, and you could look at it, and, you know, you could... It's pride of place, really. You could look at it every day. You could pat it. You could dust it. And you could not let it make any difference to your life. Or you could open it and allow God's blessings for you to transform you and transform your life. I don't know whether you noticed that we missed a bit. I said I wasn't going to read it all, and I didn't. But there's a bit that I did miss out in verse 12. So after all these things that he's mentioned here, he says, these things, the gist of it is, these things then are given to us, verse 12, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. All of these blessings are given in order that we might be for the praise of his glory. You hear this? The blessings are given to us to transform our lives, to make our lives better and godly and Christ-like and spirit-filled and all that stuff. That's great, isn't it? Tick that box. It's for our benefit. But ultimately, they're given that our transformed lives might be a testimony to the amazing love and the glorious grace that's been lavished upon us, that our lives might be to the praise of his glory. I wonder how you're feeling now. I wonder what's written on the school report of my Christian life and witness and testimony. I suspect it's pretty much the same that was written on my school report way back all those years ago. Could do better. What about you? It was probably true for these Ephesians, if the truth be told. And I think that's why Paul is writing to them. There's good things about them. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. There are good things about the church in Ephesus. There are good things about Saltersford Church. There are good things about each of us that you know, Paul could give thanks for, that we can give thanks for, that God gives thanks for, I'm sure. But we can always go further. And Paul's prayer is that they might know him better. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 17, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So that you might know him better, so that all of these blessings can take hold in your life. And so he comes to the prayer that's our text. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. What a prayer. This is prayer ministry at its best, isn't it? What are you going to pray for people? What did you pray for people as we sat here this morning? You know, we can pray for the things that matter to us. We can pray for the things that worry us. We can pray, can't we, for healing, for this and for that and so on. But what greater prayer is there than this? That you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. What a prayer to have up your sleeve at any time, at any place, for anyone. So let's have a quick look at each of these things to understand what we're praying. That you might know the hope to which he has called you. This time last week, I talked about something that I rarely mention in sermons. Everton. Do you remember? It was a big week for Everton this week, and my hope was that we would beat the old enemy, Liverpool, in the derby, and that we would win the semi-final at Wembley against Manchester United yesterday. If you remember, my hope was tempered by the fact that we'd had a bit of a bad run recently and a few injuries, and that our opponents are playing really well. Well, I have to report, if you don't already know, that my hopes lie shattered at my feet. Yet, perversely, hope is stirring in my heart for the next game and for next season. Well, it has to. See, hope's an amazing thing, isn't it? Hope lifts the spirits. Hope lets you see a way forward when things actually are pretty grim, perhaps. Even in the darkest despair, when hope stares, we can cope. That's what hope does for us. Now, that's true for me when I start to think about a football team. But when our hope is in something steadfast and certain, when our hope is an anchor for the soul, these are biblical phrases to describe the hope that God plants in our hearts. When our hope is in an unchanging God and who loves us and pours and lavishes his grace upon us, when our hope is in Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever, who sacrificed his life to bring us every spiritual blessing in this life and the next, then that makes a difference, doesn't it? Doesn't it? I mentioned the old enemy, Liverpool FC. I hate everything about them, except for one thing. And that's the song that they run out onto the pitch to. It's a song that inspires them. Now, Everton have got Zed cars. What's that about? I don't know. Na, 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 na. But Liverpool have got this song that was written, I think, by Rodgers and Hammerstein as a closing number in the musical Carousel. A musical where, if I recall, somebody dies, I don't think I'm making this up, and it's quite tough for the people in the show. And they close with this song. It's a song made more famous, perhaps, by Jerry and the Pacemakers, and goes something like, "When you walk through the storm, hold your head up high. Walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone." And I think that's referring to, each other, the support that one another gives us. But of course, as Christians, we can just transform even that song, can't we? And Billy Graham did, and I know I've told you this before, I'm sure, because it sticks in the mind. 1984, came to Anfield, had seen the Shankly Gate, I think it is, where it says, "You'll never walk alone," asked what it was all about, was told the story, and changed the words. And we had to sing, an Everton fan had to sing that night, "Walk on, walk on, walk on, with Christ in your heart, and you'll never walk alone." It's the hope of Christ, isn't it, that is within us. It's that hope that sees us through difficult times, because there's something to look forward to, that promise of eternity, which is steadfast and sure, which is an anchor for the soul, which is certain in Christ. And this is the prayer, that you would know the hope to which he has called you, not just for then, but for now. Secondly, that you would know the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now, you can read this in two ways. The first way is that we might know what our glorious inheritance is, and the riches of it. So in this way, really, Paul's just repeating what he's already said about this hope in the future. We have this glorious inheritance in the future. And that's a legitimate way to read this verse. It is our hope, the riches that he's planted within us. But the other way to see it, and perhaps the one that most commentators at least go with, is that the saints, that's you and I, we are the riches of God's glorious inheritance. You see, his inheritance is you and me. It's like God has got a box of blessings for himself. And we're in it. We are a blessing for him. It's amazing to think about this, but it's not unbelievable because it's there in Scripture, in fact, isn't it? After all, you know, he's loved us and he's lavished his love and his grace upon us. The Bible says he delights in us. He rejoices over us with singing. The Bible says we are the apple of his eye, that we are his treasured possessions. You see, that we are his glorious inheritance. You're special to him. He's chosen you. He gets you out of the box and he thinks, Suzanne, she's lovely. I'll do this. I'm going to do this blindfold, okay? Anne. Oh, such a blessing. This is God, by the way. It's not me, okay? Although I think the same, obviously. Keith. Such a joy to my heart. Mark. I'm going to sing over him with great delight. Did you see? Put your name in that place. Doesn't this make a difference to the way we think about life and the way we think about the things that come our way? He loves you. He cherishes you. He delights in you. He rejoices over you with singing. Do you know, many of us don't think very much of ourselves. Many of us hate the way we look in the mirror. Many of us think we're useless and got no talents and no gifts and things like that. But listen, God has chosen you. God loves you. God cherishes you. God delights in you. God rejoices over you with singing. You are the apple of his eye. You are his treasured possession. The prayer is that you would know the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, that you would know that you are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And by the way, and this is in brackets because we're not going here really, but if God thinks of us in that way, then shouldn't we think of each other in that way? And thirdly, that you would know his incomparably great power for us who believe. Wow. The Father, by his Son and through his Spirit, offers us power for our lives. Does he? No, he doesn't. He offers us great power for our lives. Does he? No, he doesn't. He offers us incomparably great power for our lives. In fact, Paul goes on to define it, doesn't he? That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. That same power that cancelled sin, that same power that defeated death, that same power that opens heaven's gates, that same power that raised Christ heavenward and sat him at the right hand of God the Father, that power, God's power, all of it is available for us, each of us. It's amazing. It's transforming. Let me hear you say, amen. Amen. Then why are we still lured by the same temptations? Why are we still bound by the same habits? Why are we still stymied by the same doubts? Why are we still hampered by the same fears? Why are we still trapped in the same old, same old? This is not meant to condemn folks. You know, we're human, we're fallen, we're imperfect. There are the, to quote Shakespeare on this weekend, there are the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune around us. But God has this box for us with so many blessings, and particularly these three things, each of which on its own can make a difference to which to the way in which we see life, but which together can transform us into the people that God wants us to be, that he longs for us to be, that he enables us to be. The hope to which he's called us, steadfast and certain, an anchor for the soul. The riches of his glorious inheritance, that's us, for him. Remember this, he loves you, he delights in you, you're his treasured possession. And this incomparably great power for us who believe. Everything we need to beat the blues. Everything we need to defeat the darkness. Everything we need to walk in the light. Everything we need to live a life worthy of the calling we've received. Everything we need to be for the praise of his glory. So when we pray for each other before we go today, let's remember this prayer. In fact, let's say it out loud now. Let's pray. Let's imagine we're praying for each other. And we're going to read this. So that we pray together that you might know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his comparably great power.